All right, good to see you guys. Man, the presence of God is just so, he's just like messing with me right now. I know he wants me to preach this sermon. Before we do though, can we just turn our attention to him? Just let him know, just under your breath in your own words, let him know that you love him, you're thankful for him, that you're thankful for his salvation, his presence, all that he's done in your life. God, we love you and we honor you. Lord, we are here because of you. Lord, we're not here to celebrate a building. We're not here to promote a church name. Lord, we're not here to promote a particular pastor. But Father, we're here to honor you and bless you. And Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. See, you guys are a smart crew because you came to first service. Because it's after second service that we're going to ask you all to move a bunch of chairs, okay? So, although, I'm just saying, you could go grab lunch and then come back if you wanted to, okay? So, here's the thing. Around 12:45 after second service, we're immediately after the service, behind us are two big green containers. You may have seen them. They have all of our new chairs, around 650 chairs. That's why we need help, okay? So it's going to be organized chaos, but we just need your help. The biggest thing we need is to get the chairs in the room. We can organize it. We can take our time and do that. We'll adjust things as we go, but we just need all the chairs in the room. I'm praying, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that the rain would hold off from 12:30 to 2:30. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So that's available for you. Next week, again, we're meeting next door for our sanctuary service, but I've been thinking about this. I want to do something. I want to invite you to do it with me, okay? What time does the new service start? 10:10, exactly. I'm going to be here at 10 in this room. And at 10 o'clock, I'd love to invite all of the church family to join me and the other pastors as we thank God for all that he's done here, and we worship him, and we pray one last time, and then his presence and all of us, the family of VFC, both services, we're going to walk together into the new sanctuary, okay? So I'd love to invite you to do that. So that'll be at 10. If you forget and you show up at 10:10, we love you, okay? It's awesome. But that's what's going on next week. All right, so this series, we're going back. We had skipped it last week for Easter, where we talked about the resurrection, the fact that you can't kill God. It was awesome. It was a great Sunday. We're going back to this series. We will be for a few more weeks, called Good Person, Bad Choices. Now, there are truly no good people, right? All have fallen short of the glory of God. But what that means is most of us aren't trying to sin on a regular basis. We're not trying to do the wrong thing. What happens is we slip, trip, and fall. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, about how to avoid slipping, tripping, and falling into sin, okay? So I encourage you, if you missed that, I encourage you to get that message on our podcast, our website, CD in the foyer, whatever way you can. Now, I'm basing the rest of this series on 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, where John tells us something really important. It says, "For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure," one translation says, "lust of the flesh, a craving for everything we see," another translation says, "the lust of the eyes, and pride in our achievements and possessions." That same translation says, "the pride of life. These are not from the Father, but are from this world." So you can summarize everything that the world has to offer and the trap that's built into these offerings, these invitations, it's a trap. You can say lust, greed, and pride. You could also say pleasure, possessions, and power. It's the same idea. These are the three. Every sin, actually, that you've ever committed or will ever commit can be placed underneath one of these areas: lust, greed, and pride. So we're going to talk today about lust, or a craving for physical pleasure, or the lust of the flesh. I want to let you know I'm preaching under the influence this morning. I've got a friend named Larry Duggar. He's a pastor in Missouri, pastors a church about our size in a small city about Thomasville's size. And we met years ago at a writer's conference. He has since written a bunch of books. I have not. But the friendship remains, and we like to bounce things off of each other. Similar teaching styles, similar theology. I consider him a friend, even though we don't always just hang out. We just text every once in a while. So he's written a book called When Good People Do Bad Things. And his publisher reached out and said, hey, we're looking for some people to kind of preach from this book, even though it hadn't released yet. And so I was like, yeah. And so I want to give credit where credit's due. I'm using some of what he has studied and has put in his new book. And when it comes out, I'll let you know in case you want to grab it, okay? So that's what I'm basing a lot of this off of. When we hear the word lust, we usually think about sex, right? That's what we often think about. But lust is far more than that. Let me give you a biblical definition of lust. Here it is. Lust is an unhealthy craving or longing for something you don't have, something you can't have, or something you shouldn't have. That's what lust is. It is an unhealthy craving or longing. Key word, unhealthy and craving. And I mean, we have thoughts and we have desires sometimes. Man, I don't have this. I wish I had that. But this is when it becomes more. It becomes more than just that. It's actually a fascination turned into obsession. This is what lust is. And you can crave what you have. You can enjoy what you have. Now, often, lust is equated with sex. And so, look, it's okay to think your spouse is awesome. To desire your spouse. I do it all the time. But you can't. Because Tiff and I are exclusive to one another, right? So you don't have, you can't have, and you shouldn't have lustful thoughts towards either one of us. Let's be honest. So it's perfectly okay for me to have a longing for my wife. But it's not okay for me to have a longing for someone else's wife, or their car, or their house, or their job, or their position, or whatever it is. That's when we get into lust. It's a craving or longing for something you don't have, can't have, and shouldn't have. So we can lust after food. We can lust after fame. We can lust after power, money, sex, and possessions. All of these things are things we can lust after. Now, in the Old Testament, this word lust is called coveting. And it's the 10th commandment, you shall not covet. As a matter of fact, if we look at the actual text, it says, you must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey. You can just think for ox or donkey. Think car for ox and donkey. Is my mic going out? Is that just me? Yeah, if y'all can give me the other one. Thank you. Sweet. Okay. Or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. So it's not about the thing you're lusting after. It's about the craving and longing for it. You with me? So in the Old Testament, it's called coveting. It's interesting. In Romans 7:7, Paul quotes the 10th commandment, you shall not covet, and the word he uses is lust. That's the word that he uses. So we see that lusting and coveting are the same thing. Why does God care about this? Why is it such a big deal to want something that we don't have? Well, notice it's not just wanting it, it's craving it. It's craving it. It's where it goes beyond fascination into obsession. So why does he care? Well, because God is a loving father, and he is trying to protect you from yourself and protect others from you. That's why. If we keep reading the first verse we looked at, 1 John 2:16, the very next verse says this, and the world is passing away. And the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. See, the reason why God doesn't want us to lust is because lust is a poor substitute for love. God is love. He has given us his love, and he is asking us to love. So lust is a perversion of love. Love is kind. Lust is cruel. Love serves others. Lust steals from others. Love is forever. Lust is fleeting. It's a poor substitute. And so the longings of our heart can be met in Christ, but when we go outside of finding our purpose and reason in him, we might go to a person, place, or thing, and now we are in lust. I want to illustrate how this works. I want to read a story in the Old Testament that's honestly rather dark and rather sordid. This is why we put a PG-13 warning on today's message. It's not too bad, but it deals with sexual abuse. 2 Samuel 13, 1 through 19 is a very sad story. I'm just going to read it to you here, and then we're going to talk about it. Now, David's son Absalom had a beautiful sister named Tamar. And Amnon, her half-brother, fell desperately in love with her. Everybody say, ew. Yeah, gross, man. So they were half-brother, half-sister, same father, okay? Amnon became so obsessed, there we go, with Tamar that he became ill. It made him sick. She was a virgin, and Amnon thought he could never have her. But Amnon had a very crafty friend, his cousin, Jonadab. He was the son of David's brother, Shimea. One day, verse 4, Jonadab said to Amnon, "What's the trouble? Why should the son of a king look so dejected morning after morning?" So Amnon told him, "I'm in love with Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Now, what Jonadab should have said was, "Dude, that's gross. Grow up and get a life." It's not what he said. Instead, he said, "Well, I'll tell you what to do. Go back to bed and pretend you're ill. When your father comes to see you, ask him to let Tamar come and prepare some food for you. Tell him you'll feel better if she prepares it as you watch and feeds you with her own hands." Verse 6, so Amnon lay down and pretended to be sick. When the king came to see him, Amnon asked him, "Please let my sister Tamar come and cook my favorite dish as I watch. Then I can eat it from her own hands." Verse 7, David agreed and sent Tamar to Amnon's house to prepare some food for him. When Tamar arrived at Amnon's house, she went to the place where he was lying down so she could, so he could watch her mix some dough. Then she baked his favorite dish for him. Verse 9, but when she set the serving tray before him, he refused to eat. "Everyone get out of here," Amnon told his servants, so they all left. Then he said to Tamar, "Now bring the food into my bedroom and feed it to me here." So Tamar took his favorite dish to him, but as she was feeding him, he grabbed her and demanded, "Come to bed with me, my sister." Verse 12, "No, my brother," she cried, "don't be foolish. Don't do this to me. Such wicked things aren't done in Israel. Where could I go in my shame? And you would be called one of the greatest fools in Israel. Please, just speak to the king about it. Speak to the king about it, and he will let you marry me." But Amnon wouldn't listen to her. And since he was stronger than she was, he raped her. Verse 15, then suddenly Amnon's love turned to hate, and he hated her even more than he had loved her. "Get out of here," he snarled at her. "No," Tamar cried. "Sending me away now is worse than what you've already done to me." But Amnon wouldn't listen to her. He shouted for his servant and demanded, "Throw this woman out and lock the door behind her." So the servant put her out, locked the door behind her. She was wearing a long, beautiful robe, as was the custom in those days for the king's virgin daughters. But now Tamar tore her robe, put ashes on her head, and then with her face in her hands, she went away crying. The good news is after this, they hired Liam Neeson, and he took the guy out. Actually, it was Absalom. David finds out he's mad. He doesn't do anything about it.
And then Absalom finds out, and he waits a little bit, and then they kill him because of this. I'm sorry. I know that's a difficult story, but if we sanitize the stories in Scripture, we remove the lesson that God's trying to teach us. Lust promises pleasure, but always leads to pain. Every single time. Ultimately, someone else will pay the bill for what lust is buying. That's why we have to confront lust. That's why we have to deal with this topic. It's one of the world's main traps. You are actively right now being tempted to lust. So how do we conquer lust? I want to walk you through some scriptural ways to deal with lust. First of all, is we have to extinguish lustful thoughts. We have to extinguish lustful thoughts. Now, I want to use the word extinguish here because lust is like a spark, and we've all experienced this before. It's like a spark of a thought, like it's this desire that grabs you. We have to extinguish the spark, not fan the flame. What starts in just a little spark, if you fan that flame, what's going to happen? It's going to grow, and it's going to begin to consume like a fire. Colossians 3:5, Paul instructs us, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. I love it. It says put to death. It literally means to kill. Kill the earthly desires. It's lurking within you. Guys, hear what's true about me. It's what's true about you. Every single one of us are going to have ungodly desires. Why? Because we have a flesh. We have a carnal nature. And so we need to be honest with ourselves and recognize I have a healthy distrust of myself. Like, in general, I tend to make good decisions, but sometimes I don't. And so because of that, if I'm making a decision, I often slow down, pause, and ask myself, what part of me, the regenerated spiritual part, or the craven, lustly, fleshly part, is making this decision? Because every single one of us needs to learn how to put it to death. Guys, you're going to have to do this over and over and over, like brushing your teeth. You wouldn't brush your teeth one night before you go to bed, and then you're like, well, I brushed my teeth. I'm good for the rest of my life. Only if you live in England. This is just a joke. I don't think we have any. It's just a joke. No, that's not good enough to do it once. You have to maintain, right? And it's the same with these sparks, these thoughts that we have. I can't believe my neighbor just got that truck. Wow, their marriage looks perfect. It's not, by the way. I mean, these are the sparks that lead us into lust, and you've got to extinguish that thing, not fan the flame. It's okay to notice. It's okay to notice the car, the house, the person. It's okay to notice. It's not okay to obsess. This is when we begin to walk into lust. The fantasy you entertained yesterday is working hard to become your reality today. It's working hard in your life, in your heart. Don't feed the fire of lust. Extinguish the thoughts. Here's the next way we conquer lust, is we flee from anything that sparks lust. Flee from anything that sparks lust. 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul is instructing Timothy, says, run or flee from anything that simulates youthful lusts. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. He says flee, and the word here in Greek, flee, it literally means to run in stark terror. Now, here's the problem with us. We don't always flee, whether it's lust or any other sin. We don't always flee, do we? We look at it, and we're like, interesting. I'm staying away. But look at that. And we kind of get, right? We kind of get up to the edge and see where the edge is. But scripture says flee. That means you look at it and you go, ah! Like you're out of there. You don't pause and say, is this wrong or not? No, you know it is. Get away from it. And so we have to flee from anything that sparks lust in our lives. Now notice, he says, instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship. See, who you hang out with matters. There are certain people, places, and things you engage with that will spark lust in your heart. Don't put yourself in situations. Don't hang out with people. And don't put up with influences that awaken lust in your heart. Don't do it. Recognize, look, I'll be honest, there are certain TV shows. Entertainment is companionship. I'm going there. There are certain, when you are watching a television show, a movie, reading a book, a magazine, visiting a website, you are in companionship with that media, with that information. Think of it like, would you hang around a friend that's saying what they're saying on your TV? That's acting like what you're seeing on the movie? It's using the same language in that Instagram reel? And so this is companionship. And since lust grows over time, many times our spirit wants to do the right thing, but we're feeding our lust by what we expose ourselves to. Because there have been TV shows that honestly, they're not that bad. But for whatever reason, it sparked lust in my heart, whether it was sexual or emotional or for possessions or for power, for money. And the Lord had to deal with it and said, look, you can't watch that. It's feeding the flame. It's you're extinguishing sparks, but shouldn't you also try to stop the spark from forming? And so we have to flee from anything that sparks lust in our lives. And yes, that does include our entertainment choices. Here's another one. How do we deal with lust? How do we conquer lust? Get busy doing kingdom work. 1 Peter 2:11 says, beloved, that's you. You're loved greatly. Do you know you're loved greatly by God? You are. You're so loved by him. Beloved, I beg you. All right, Paul's serious. I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Notice, he says, as sojourners and pilgrims. What does that mean? As travelers. What does that mean? You're not from here. You're just temporarily here. This is just a moment. This is the pre-eternity. And so you need to recognize that these lusts, these things that trip us up, it's just temporary. You're not from here and you're not headed here. You won't hunger for what you don't have when you're full with what you already have. See, inactivity will have you looking around at what everyone else has. When we're inactive and we're not busy in the kingdom, we start looking around. Huh? Oh, there's a spark. Does that make sense? But if you're busy doing what God's called you to do, you won't have time to lust because you're maintaining what you already got and you're investing in that. Y'all heard the phrase, idle hands are the devil's workshop? Absolutely. Guys, there is an attack on our young men in this country. It's the unholy trinity of inactivity. It's porn, weed, and video games. And every single teenage boy, and I'm not saying girls don't deal with this as well, but it's every guy. It's like this failure to launch that happens because they get involved in those three things. And it's funny, they go together. Now, I'm not saying you can't play video games, but I'm saying, especially young men, Porn, weed, and video games go together, and they exist to make you inactive in the kingdom, and it's just creating sparks, constant sparks of lust, so much so that you may want to extinguish them, but you even can't keep up with the sparks. And so we've got to be careful with this. We have to get busy doing kingdom work. And by the way, unthankfulness is inactivity's first cousin. When you, it will have you wanting everyone else. When you're inactive, you're not doing anything important. You're just, hey, what's up? Just living my life, man. And then all of a sudden you begin to look around because you're not busy enough. And then you look around and then you're unthankful for what you have. You start wanting everyone else's stuff. That's lust. So unthankfulness works with inactivity. But I'm reminded of that classic Christian song. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And what will happen? And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. As we put our focus on God, the traps, the lust of this world, it's just not appealing anymore. And we get busy doing kingdom work, which means we don't have time to pursue the lusts of the flesh. Amen? Last one. Last way that we conquer lust is we take lust to the king. What do I mean? Remember Tamar? When Amnon was making his move, she goes, look, take this to the king. Like, if you have a need, if you want to marry me, then marry me. Do it the right way. But don't just steal pleasure from me. Take it to the king. And it's the same with us. To get lust out of the bedroom, we have to take it to the throne room. Romans 13:14. Instead, he's just talking about various sins. Instead, clothe yourself with what? The presence of God. Clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires or your lusts. It's really hard to lust after natural things when you're pursuing spiritual things. And you have to take, look, we all have desires. We all have needs. We all have cravings, right? We need to eat. We need to feel loved. We need to be taken care of through like a roof over our head, you know, transportation. Like, we have needs. It's not that you don't have needs. You don't deny your needs, but you take your needs to the king. You have a heavenly father who loves you, who knows you, and gives good gifts. He wants to meet your needs, but lust is what happens when you don't trust God's ability to provide for you. He said, well, I'm going to get it myself. Ooh, look at that. Whoa, look at that. And then that fascination turns to obsession, and now you're in lust. Guys, living a life filled with lust is beneath the stature of a Christian. We have a father who loves us. We have an eventual home where every need will be taken care of in heaven. And so we've got to make sure that we avoid this trap of lust. And that's my question to you this morning is, are you caught in the world's trap of lust? Maybe you're just like the water level's up here. You're barely keeping your head above water. Guys, there is a better way to live where we surrender our needs, surrender our wants, surrender our desires to the one who created us and knows exactly how to fill them. Amen. Let's stand for prayer. We're going to take a break from this series next week as we celebrate being in the new place, but then we're going to come back. We've done lust, we're going to do greed, and then we're going to do pride, whatever that last one is, that thing. Before we leave today, would you take a moment? Let's internalize. Let's honor the word. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us where we are. Close your eyes. Ask the Lord the question I just asked you. Am I caught in the trap of lust? It's only three things the world can offer. Am I caught in this one? Some of you are, it's like you're underwater and it's a net that's caught you and you can't get out. You're panicking and you don't know which way to go. The first step is to submit, surrender, give yourself to the King. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, show us where we are this morning. Help us do a fearless inventory of our lives. It's so easy to judge others. Help us look at our own lives, though. Father, whether it's sex or money, food, fame, power or possessions, or anything else, I pray, God, that you would help us to overcome, because this stuff hurts us, and you love us, and you don't want us to continue to be hurt by this. We invite you in to our lives. In Jesus' name, I come against the spirit of lust that has infiltrated and taken over God's people. Spirit of lust, I command you to go in Jesus' name now. You leave the people of God alone. We renounce you. We renounce your purposes. We say we will not be hurt by you any longer. In Jesus' name. I want to lead us in a prayer, if you will. Pray this after me, your prayer, my words. Father, I need your help when it comes to lust. So I give you my heart all over again, and I ask you to help me. Help me to extinguish lustful thoughts. Help me flee from those things that create those thoughts. Help me get busy doing kingdom work. And Father, I take my lust to the King, who can handle everything I need and who gives me good gifts. I choose your love over my lust. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Awesome. Val, will you close us?